Praise the Lord. Are we ready to transmit?
Auch wenn es noch ein bisschen unter Einschränkungen stattfindet, aber ich denke, wir alle brauchen diese Gemeinschaft. Wir brauchen das Sprechen des Herrn zu uns. Und ich denke, dass was ganz Bestimmtes für uns auf dem Herzen hat, auch für diese Versammlung heute Morgen.
This dream and the speaking to us and then leave. God has prepared something special in his heart for us. Let us reread Revelation 22, verse 1. All the brothers and sisters in Stuttgart, shall you read it? Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb.
Amen.
In the midst of the street. This is also verse 1.
Des Wassers des Lebens, klar wie Kristall, der vorkam aus dem Thron Gottes und des Lammes, in der Mitte der Straße. Amen. Amen.
Lord, we want to see this river.
Amen.
The river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne.
Lesen wir noch Psalm 16, Vers 1.
Let's continue with Psalm 16, verse 1, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11.
Können gemeinsam lesen. Du tust mir kund.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Again, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let's continue with the Epistle John. John 7, 37 until 39. This shall be read by brothers and sisters from Bonn. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified.
Amen. Ja. Lassen uns weitergehen mit Johannes 1, Vers 4.
Let's continue with John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. In him was life. And the life was the light of man. Let's head over to John 10, verse 10. We need to enjoy them. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. They may have abundantly. We want to have life. Have it more abundantly. Abundantly. Life abundantly. Head over to Philippians. Philippians 1, verse 21. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. We want to live. It is important for us to recognize it, that God is a God of living. And in our contacts of other men, they have some strange concepts that God is only expecting and having standards that we cannot meet, that He wants to transform us to willingless followers. But this God is different. I have got to know Him differently. And I know that most of us know Him differently. He is God of life. How many scientists and researchers are looking up in space to research where is life anywhere else? We have not found life yet, but where could it be or where could it have been? Then you're constructing your theory. How has life been started in ancient times? These elements matched, and somehow any external influence, and then suddenly there became a cell into being. Brothers and sisters, this earth, this creature, it has not brought into being due to an accident or a coincidence. If there's just an explosion, not many positive things are coming out of it. You can observe it in our eastern neighborhood. Not many beautiful things are coming out. It's mostly chaos. But our God is a God of life. And He even is life Himself. What He creates can only be done by Him. He has brought life into being. This is a miracle, because God exists. And even if we think about this, we can get very, very excited. You can watch with a microscope the little details in the flora and fauna, and your experience, everything is getting more interesting the deeper and closer you look at it. It's not anything, but it's
am Anfang in der Schrift sehen wir ja auch, Gott lässt alle diese Dinge hervorkommen, ja, natürlich das Licht am Anfang, dann die
this is very versatile and all-rounded. God created all things already, the lights which determines time, like moon and sun, and also the plants which grow, the animals in water, in the air. Everything which lives there has been all created by Him. This world is full of life. But then God creates one special thing after He brought this perfect creature into being. Then He states, "Now let us make man." Who is talking to whom at this point? God has a purpose. And this purpose is sticking to the man, because the creature has not been in a good state at that point, and the first judgment has been performed. On this earth, there has been a rulership of a fallen angel, Satan, who ruled on earth. So there had been a judgment to happen and a restart from God. And then the man is in the center of it. There the man is created in the midst of a garden. Not only like he created the other things, but he is building him. Not anyhow, but in his way. In his figure. Did anyone see God? No one did. He is invisible, but he is created a creature which is looking like him. So God wants to be represented by somehow on this earth who is looking like him, which has a similar being and similar feelings and thoughts and has wisdom. And can implement many things on earth according to God's will, like in a rulership of life, not in a rulership we imagine of. And this man has brought to make a decision. This has been yesterday night important to me to hear, to decide day for day newly. One time in my life, I decided very consciously for Jesus. I could have said, no, I'm not interested. I could have run away. But the young man who asked me whether I want to get to know Jesus, I hesitated, and then he started praying with me, and this hesitation was my salvation, and I'm thankful for this until today. And then he told me, now it's your turn to pray. And in this very moment, I let Jesus come consciously into my life. I didn't know what would happen, but I took a decision. And I didn't have doubts all the time and questioning all these things, but I took a decision, and he has confessed it on the way I walked with him. And I know I have to take decisions newly every time. But what decisions do we need to take? Do we decide to make everything right, not making any mistakes? Decide what is good, what is evil, what is right, what is wrong, to decide to know everything and to judge everything. It is more a decision which stands against our manly will, where we are brought into a virtual corner. To maybe seeming to be simple or simple-minded. I will draw two trees at the board, two green trees in the Garden of Eden. Two trees were exponated in the middle, so because they were important, God has placed them specifically. And he said, this one is the tree of life. And And whoever eats from this tree will receive eternal life, will receive the godly life. Remember, Adam has been created. He was a living soul, but he didn't receive the godly life yet. It's a difference when you're created and you're enjoying yourself and you're able to move. But for us, it's also important to take in the godly life. Then we can live according to our purpose and fulfill our purpose to express God. This tree is the tree of life, and this is what it's all about in the Bible. We saw it in Revelation 22. We see it in many books in between. And next to it, there's another tree with a complicated name. It's the tree of insight of good and evil. And no matter where you're going to, whether there are problems, any time this right tree is partaking too. The tree of insight of good and evil sounds very spiritually. Insight. Who doesn't want to have perception and awareness? The awareness is better. Awareness of good and evil. I'm not writing the whole name because it's too complicated. You have to explain a lot. But you can make it very easy and short. That. This is the difference. One is a tree of death, the other tree is tree of life. And the man has been brought to this decision, and we know that he decided for the tree of death. And this is a tree through which the sin came into man, and the corruption of Satan corrupted us for God. Even if we mean it so good to know everything and to do everything right in church, there's a whole different principle to God. You don't have to look every time whether everything is going right, but you need to look and take care of whether you're at the tree of life. We will dive into it in Revelation. In Revelation 2, it's mentioned as well. At the letter for the saints in Ephesus, there it has been called out for repentance. From what do they need to repent? Which sin is standing there? They didn't sin in a heavy way as the Corinthians, but from the saints here, it's written how good they are. Not even evil. They are good Christians. They can point out many good things. And then he's saying in verse 4, Revelation 2, 4, "Nevertheless, I have this against you. On one hand, Jesus is the good shepherd, but on the other hand, it's the burning Christ, who is performing judgment in the churches. I have this against you, that you are leaking of something. You have left your first love. And who repents and do the first work, and him I want to give to eat from the tree of life." There's every time you repent, you will get a reward. And this is to eat from tree of life. Think about from which you are falling. And I ask myself as well, from which I have fallen. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, but it's not written, turn around to the first love, but it's written, do the first works. So they had many works, but they need to return to the first works. We had the privilege that it became into living in Karlsruhe. In the short path, we read the book of Acts at this part where Paul went to Ephesus. What happened there, this has been the first works. So God worked strongly through the gospel. Many assembled with apostles, many followers assembled in a school of Tyrannus. And they moved within the word, and from there they started their journeys to Asia to preach the gospel. These has been the first works. And a chaos came into being. And a riot started, and it became clear that being a Christian is not a part-time job. Many people who were able to take out demons, and they had a work, we are casting out demons, and they had a difficult case, and then they tried it with the name of Jesus, who Paul was preaching. And they are going to this demon, talking to them in the name of Jesus, which Paul is preaching, cast out. These men suffered because the demon answered, I know Jesus, I know Paul, but who are you? Do not only copy the Christian behaviors. Either you are Christ and you're living with the Lord and you're one with Him, then you're walking at a straight path, but do not mix in the Christian parts. I do have my own plans for my life, and then I manage somehow to join the meeting on Sunday. Do not take the Christian life as a part-time job. And when that happened, they become a great, to a minor matter, when they took it as a minor matter, they had been in great fear at that point. In Acts chapter 19, then people came out from themselves, even they have been believers already, and did not confess their sins in the small private room, but publicly confess what they did strongly wrong and stood against God. And even the public arts like magic and which has been secret for their own life, they burned them publicly to set these aside and to lay their past aside, and they did not sell them, but they burned them. This shows what a power is in the gospel. This have been the first works. I do not take also this with me and are compromising in that way. For sure, in these times for us as Christians, Eastern is a pagan or heathen word, so this is nothing according to us. We are not sticking to them. So it originates in the Jewish Pesach feast. You can celebrate it consciously. It's the feast of resurrection. Hallelujah. It's a feast of the life victors the dead. But you do not need outward practices, not Easter eggs. We are willing to make compromises, sticking a small finger to the evil, to the devil, but we need to be his fully. In Revelation 22, verse 2, I will give him from this tree. Aren't you happy to do the first works? Brothers and sisters who are doing this are full of joy. They are not having many problems. Even if they have some, they are not so important to them. Because they know what for they are living. And if we are challenged by this, this is a salvation for us. It's a stream of water of life which needs to flow. In Genesis, we are not only seeing the tree of life, but also the stream, the water of life. There is a stream going out of Eden. Every stream has an origin, and he is floating around there and diverging into different arms and different directions. But this stream has many specialties. This is the stream where you are finding gold. And from what is the city of New Jerusalem in Revelation 21 built? It's built of gold. And where does it come from? Where does the gold in the church life coming from? It's the presence of the Lord, the inworked presence of the Lord in you. How does it happen? It happens because you're enjoying the stream of life and you're giving room to God to flow in you. And then you're finding gold. And this is very precious, which lasts for eternity. The church is built out from gold, silver, and precious stones, not from wood. And straw. There is a place where you will find gold. The stream is watering the whole garden. First one is Pishon, gold floating in the land Habiba, where gold is, and the gold of the land is precious. And there is Bidula, Haz. It's something like amber stone, black amber. The next is Pishon, Tigris, and Euphrat. So the four rivers are transporting the precious part. If you want to have gold, you need to be in the stream. If you want to have precious stones, if you want to be transformed by God to a precious stone, you need to be in the stream. A stream of water of life. This stream can be found in the whole Bible, and in Revelation we see the perfection. We are not seeing the paradise, even if it's a paradise environment, but you're seeing the stream out of the throne. This is very distinctive. A stream coming out of the throne. This is physically not to be explained, but this has a symbolic character. This word has a can state out in pictures how God's rulership works, how he is ruling in the church life and in our life, in the way he is presenting us the floating stream in our life. Then you're even more willing to do his will, to let away your own concepts, and to enjoy his inward flow. And there is the stream of water of life originating. In Ezekiel 47, the new temple is described at one side at the altar. There's a water flowing out, in the beginning very little. This is precious to see. Ezekiel 47.
Ich habe jetzt die Elberfelder. Er führte mich zum Eingang des Hauses, also Hesekiel wird von dem Engel dorthin geführt und es wird ihm alles gezeigt von diesem zukünftigen Tempel.
Verse 1, he brought me back to the door of the temple. So everything has been shown to Ezekiel. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. 2, he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside of the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out of the east side with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. Then he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. And this is how he measures again and again, 1,000 ankles. It's a godly measure. Remember, God wants to measure again and again in your life as well. But he brings you to this point where you can stand. So the stream has risen and let me swim. We do not only lose control, but then God takes over the control through his life. Do not think whether you're presenting yourself in that way to the Lord and enjoying him that much. Could have an extreme expression to others. But this diving in is into this stream is needed to have this dediction to the Lord. I could not forget in the first Young People's Conference, I came there and the doorway has been very loud, my wife and I. At one corner, on chairs, there had been sitting young brothers and sisters, and they called out very loud, Amen, Lord Jesus. And they recalled part of verses of the Bible, half of a sentence, Amen. My wife said to me, okay, let's join them.
Für mich, mir war das irgendwie komisch.
It has been strange to me. It is strange. And Paul is saying, if you're all talking in different language and someone not understanding you is walking in your circle, he could say, you're out of your mind. But when we are among ourselves, it's important to enjoy the Lord. Not only praying a beautiful long prayer, this is, no one gets satisfied of it. But if you're taking the word, crying out the name of Jesus, something is starting to flow within us. It is strange. It stands against my mindful way. But at this day I started to open my mouth and to repeat Amen too. And joined the prayer. Amen. And I experienced the Lord tastes good. You are not experienced this in that way. You're knowing that God is good. He helped you there. He has resurrected you. But to taste Him as the water of life is something different. And if you're not knowing this, you're getting problems with the right tree. Our whole life, we will somehow behave, control ourselves. We are in any meaning ourselves. Do not come too close to me. I do not come too close to you. I'm having a different point of view. But if we're all drinking out of this stream, so like we read in Psalm 16, you're presenting me the tree of life, and in front of you is the fullness of joy. And other things are becoming small when we get to know Christ more. This is a stream of water of life. And same as in Ezekiel, as Michael stated yesterday evening, it's written that everything which is touched by the stream will be healed. We are somehow managing to fix problems. We try to help. And then it's backfiring. In every things, especially in the church, we need this consciousness. It's all about life. And also Revelation, many verses I stated in the outline, they are out of the Epistle of John. John has become old when he created these scriptures. He wrote his epistles and his letters, and he wrote down the revelation in the very end. So he worked out an important part in the New Testament, but his focus was on the life. For sure, the love, but the love is strongly connected to the life because it's offspringing out of the life. He is guiding backwards to the life. He knew the origins, and knowing Jesus in person, and now it's another generation in the churches, the brothers and sisters who didn't join in the very beginning, and John understands it as his work and his task to bring back to these important ground things of life. This is how he starts his epistles. Not with any with any ancient data, but he starts with the Word and the God. And in John 1:4, in him was life, it's written. And this life, this is what it's all about. And it's written, what is from the very beginning, he has such a burden to bring back the saints, what we have seen, what we have touched of the word of life. And the life has been appeared. He did not write, God has appeared, but he wrote, the living, the life has been appeared. And this is what we are sharing and preaching to you, which has been revealed to us. And this is what I'm writing, that our joy will be fully. So the joy can only be fulfilled if we all are assembling at the tree of life to get to know the Lord and to get to know the life. This has been the burden of John, the word of life, the water of the living water, John 4:14. The Lord is stating to this Samaritan woman at this fountain, and he said, if you would know who is speaking to you, you would have called out him and said, give me this living water. If you have drinken from this living water, it's not standing still at that part. I started drinking. This is how I started in my life, but this is not where it ended. There's a fountain in myself and in yourself as well. And one of its... One of its characteristics is that water is flowing out of it. And this is the water which we experience in Revelation 22. This is also offspring of us. And it's like in the way we are preaching the gospel at the people around us. They don't want to be taught. They don't want to be... they don't want to be convinced with your own mind. A brother said this morning they are thirsty, and if you are able to let something outflow out of your spring, then they will experience, they will hear something they have never heard before. Maybe they cannot behave accordingly, but they will recognize it somehow. There is a food which is giving life and does not only want to convince them. In John 4:14, or in the whole chapter, it's showing like the Lord is preaching the gospel. He is not convincing or doing a work of convincing someone. But he joined the woman and started a conversation, a chilled conversation. It's not like, oh, I didn't preach the gospel today, let's find quickly someone to hand out a letter to them. But it has, in that point, offspring the situation. Like, because the Lord has been filled with life, he knew exactly what to say there. And we can experience the same.
In Johannes, Kapitel 7, Vers 37 bis 39, haben wir gelesen,
in John 7:37-39, we read, we need to truly let it in ourselves. On the last day, that great day of the feast, It has been a great feast in the Jewish calendar. And normally the last day is the greatest, the final feast. And at that great day, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." What did they do the whole time at that feast? They ate and they drank. But there has been a thirst which haven't been satisfied now. He is not talking about any right teaching. 38, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." In the Greek language, it's not unique, but it's as the scripture said, out from our inwardly, the living water shall flow. But on the other hand, we are believing according to the scripture says. We are believing in him according to the scripture, and therefore rivers of living water will flow out from ourselves. And you're opening your mouth, it's also part of your body, and water of life is running out as you're sharing a testimony. Or you're handing someone to somebody who has a question. Living water, even there are questions to be answered. Do not rush to answer everything. Remember that for Christ, the people came and the people cried out to him and asked him what to do with that adulterer. Shall we kill her by throwing stones? And Jesus waited. This is also the living, to wait and not handing thousands of answers simultaneously. And look and hear, watch, and having short contact to the Father, drawing in the sand, a consultation with the Father. So the living is different. So a heated moment can cool down. So the answer was, whoever is out of sin shall throw the first stone. No one can imagine to give this answer. And in the same part, the Lord says, the living is the lamp of man. Whoever follows me will become light for man. In Revelation 22, it's stated, it's clear as crystal, verse 1. Other translation states, shining, clear as crystal. See-through. Crystal is clear and see-through. If you're in this life, you do not to hide anything. You're not hiding if you've done a mistake. All of us are very expecting. But the Lord has forgiven all of our sins. We do not take or hide anything under the carpet. I'm hiding something. No, you can be truly transparent because everything has been forgiven by the Lord. If we are walking in light, then we are fellowshipping with each other and the blood of Christ. Because in this fellowship, this blood is purifying us from every sin. So that the life can flow, you need to be purified. Yesterday I enjoyed that we need to have the consciousness, the blood of Christ has performed that we can enjoy the tree of life without hesitations. Do not ask questions, but go. The curtain has been cut into two pieces. So never let anything hold you back. For sure, we see in the Epistle of John, we see many things, the bread of life, food, eating the Lord in the Word. This is something you cannot tick out in theory. I can say, yeah, for sure, it's good to eat it daily, but then I'm not eating. My fridge is empty, I'm not eating anything. It cannot work very long. We need to learn to eat. It's not important how we do it. We can create own rules, but that is not the point. The point is to eat the food. Sometimes I reach a certain point in the Word where I'm so touched and the Lord touches me. This is food. And which I need to digest in myself. Even if we only digest once, but you can take it out again at a day and let the Lord talk to you again, and this could follow you through the day, and this can be worked in inwardly, a food which will remain. And even many did not understand what he was saying, as he stated, you need to eat me. They experienced it. As Peter, as they stayed there, even the others went away, then Jesus asked them, what about you? Don't you want to walk away as well? And Peter answered, where shall we go? Where shall we go? You have words of eternal life. Peter, you didn't understand any words, but you are not able to go away. This is the life. You're not understanding everything. He had the Jews offended. If you're not eating my flesh, drinking my blood, then you're not having life in you. This is a strong offend and strong word. No wonder many people are turning away from him. But some stuck to him. What about you? The door is open, you're able to go, but they didn't want to. This is elementary for our life and will be burned in our life to be directed to the life and not today it's about many distractions or political distractions which are topics which could enter the church if not taking care of it. The life, we have a song, life is only thing which comes to me. It's reality, it's not a empty word. As Jesus resurrected, we are reading it in John 7, verse 38-39. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And then it's explained in 39, he is describing it, but this he spoke, the writer explains it, this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. this has been added by John. These are not the word of Christ, but John has experienced it even ahead of writing this epistle. So he had been there on the Whit Sunday when people have been saved and have been healed out from this dream. This he spoke concerning the Spirit. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given. This is a critical topic between theological people, that the Spirit hasn't become the Spirit he is today. For sure, the Holy Spirit has been there in existence every time, but through the death on the cross of Jesus and his resurrection, the Spirit became to this which it is today, the Spirit which has been poured out to all people. I will add a picture. The Lord became a man, and his manly living. This is all inwardly in Christ today, this living. We have many expectations or thoughts about this life. And you can experience the life of Christ at the Christians who are following Jesus today, and also his death. It's not only the death for the resurrection, but for everything God has terminated, our own living as well. I'm adding a cross. And then he resurrected from death. And he went up to heaven. Today he's sitting on the throne. We read in Revelation 5 and 8, he's sitting on the throne. In Revelation 22, we see this throne again. Christ is sitting on that throne. Christ and Lamb are sitting on this throne. And all of these combined are within the Holy Spirit. And this has been poured out, in the things you're hearing at this place and seeing. This is what Peter is written in Acts. Paul is written in Acts. You are hearing the gospel from fishermen who are not able to speak any languages, but you are hearing in your own languages the mighty works of God. This is the work of the Spirit. They talked in many tongues and different languages. The Spirit isn't something that Jesus is sending. We read that Jesus is sending the Comforter. When I'm not among you, I'm sending you the Comforter. But this is not separated from Jesus. One verse states this out, 1 Corinthians 15:25. This is a verse you need to know by heart, 1 Corinthians 15:25. But the last Adam became the living spirit. So the subject is the life. So the who is the last Adam? This is Jesus. With Jesus, all the mankind out of Adam has been terminated. If you're today still living in Adam and not in Christ, you're not up to date. Where are we today? In Christ. Shout it loudly. In Christ. We are in Christ. When we believe and are baptized, we are in Christ. This is a new mankind, a new personality. It's a new person. The Bible states all things through Spirit. Jesus is not only the one who sends the Comforter, but then he also states, I will return to you. So first he is sending the Comforter, I'm going, sending you someone, and then he states, I will not let you alone as wise people. As orphans, we will create living spaces among you. It's not in heaven as many Christian things. Somewhere a stream is living, is flowing in heaven. There's a golden street. This is something we can experience today. This can be a huge... It can be a huge surprise if you do not learn what is the tree of life today. This experience, it is shown as a perfection in Revelation, but today we need to live within it. Under the throne and a golden street. Have you ever thought about this? And then I thought, both sides in the midst of the street, at both sides of the street, the tree of life. So where is this tree? It's right hand and left hand. How many trees, how many fruits? Do not overthink. He is bringing 12 fruits, 12 similar, 12 different. Some Christs are creating lists, and they are the fruits of spirit, and they are searching for it. Brothers and sisters, this tree is continuously bringing fruits every month. And out from this fruit, we are nourishing ourselves eternally. And the nations are there as well. What are they doing there? They are able to enjoy the leaves of the tree. They're also getting their part. And at some plants, the leaves are very healing for. The mankind needs medicine. From this living God, from the living stream, that whole mankind will be healed. And with him, we are uniting ourselves. And spirit of man, so the Lord became the spirit of man who is offering the life today. We are reading it in 2 Corinthians 3. But all of us who are seeing the appearance of the Lord with the uncovered face, where to see it? It's invisible, but we have eyes of heart and we can see the glory of God. Sometimes I looked at a brother and I saw the glory of God. I experienced it often. I saw brothers and sisters and saw the glory of God. Not everyone from outwardly is seeing this, but we need to focus on him when we are opening the Bible and not answering many questions and trying to understand. but to touch him. And then sometimes you cannot stop reading. Some people read very, are enjoying to read it, and I'm reading in this book many years already, and sometimes I'm fearing a little because I'm deeply touched by it. Sometimes it's a small part, and then I can jump again. Because the heart is rejoicing, knowing the Lord again and again. The Lord is Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord is His freedom. For sure, this is a clear statement. The Spirit is Lord. Lord is the Spirit. This is Christ within us, the hope of glory. Let's read this.
Jetzt haben wir Christen nicht nur den Geist, wir sind nicht nur lebendig. Weißt, wenn jemand lebendig ist, ist eigentlich,
now, we as Christians are not only living and having the Spirit, but it's also even more through the Spirit, Jesus and the Father are coming united to us. And therefore, it is important to see, it is Christ we need to see. Galatians 2, verse 20.
Weil es ist ja in einem Kontext geschrieben, weil die Galater durch Gesetz
so it's written,
durcheinander gebracht worden waren, musste er der Paulus
ein it's written in the context because the Galatians are focusing too strongly on laws,
es geht um was anderes.
And Paul judged it clearly only following the law, but it's about life. Galatians 2, verse 19, for I through the law died, to the law that I might live in God. I have been crucified, as Jesus Christ have been crucified. He did not only bleed for resurrection, but he took the old man to the cross as well. All the commandments have been terminated there. But not only for the purpose we are free and are not having any commandments, but at this part, a beautiful new thing has been said. In verse 20, I who live, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. This is the wonderful part. Which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself to me. This is the person he knows and wants to know even more. This is what he wants to experience, to live more within him. I'm reading in Colossians 1, verse 26, an important part. He's writing about a secret, the mystery which has been 26, Colossians 1, 26, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not only the Spirit in you, or the Spirit on you, but it's Christ, the hope of glory. And therefore, Paul is fighting to know and to get to know Christ as our person. This is the secret which will be revealed someday. We will be revealed with Christ. To today it's still a secret, but for us it mustn't stay a secret, this secret among the nations. Let's continue with Philippians 1:21. Paul is writing about the difficulties he has gone through. We are all surrounded by problems, but he states in 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I have been captured, I have these problems, these difficulties, but to live, others' translation state, the life is Christ, but this progressing form is mean. Only to express the progressing form is difficult in German, but it's about the way we live at this point. The purpose of our life and the way and the art of living, it's Christ, and even to die is gain, even if our life ends. Let's add Acts 11:18. Or before we stay in Philippians 1:3. Paul has known Christ, and from that time he recognized Christ, and then he prioritized, and he set the priorities of other things lower. He did not only question the things he did before, but he saw them as rubbish. He states that he is seeing everything else as it's. As a loss of everything which is not out of Christ, as a waste. And then he prays to know him. Don't you know him already? I don't know him enough yet. Paul has been directed to be found in Christ when he went at any place. When he wrote epistles and letters, he wanted to be united with the Lord and to write these things the Lord wants to write. And this is a wonderful state of heart, which is at the long term, which is sticking us to the Lord, to be found in the Lord. To be invented in the Lord and to get to know him more. This is a wonderful state of mind we are able to learn. The last verse, Acts 11:18. At that time, the brothers in Jerusalem experienced Peter did baptize heathens. He went to heathens, to Italians. Peter, what you're doing there, he need to explain himself among the elderly people. And then he explained, they are believing in the Lord, and there how could I hold back the water? Verse 18, when they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. It's a beautiful word that the repentance is stuck to the life. Repentance to life. This is something we need daily. You're doing something where you feel sorry about later, and according to your personality you can carry it with you a long time, or you repent because you want the river of life to flow freely outwards of you again. Therefore you turn your heart and state, Lord, I repent and turn newly to you. Maybe in the last month some things have been collected within us and they have accumulated within us. And then we repent and pray, Lord, forgive me and bring me newly back to the living tree. We need a new repentance. Doing the first works. They burned their own books. They offered themselves for preaching the gospel and the word. Repent. Turn your heart to the Spirit. In the daily life, not only in the meetings, the church meetings, but we need a heart which is always willing to repent and to live the Lord. Christ is living today within us through the Spirit, and to listen to him and to live according to him. This isn't only a thing, but it's a person. It's sticking a lot that we are paying attention to the Lord and his speaking.